My name is Dante Williams. I am 36 years old. Today's date is August 18th, 2017. My location is CRA. My relationship to the interviewee is advocate.
My name is Jose Davila, age 47. Today's date, 8-18, 2017, location CRA. And I'm going to talk to my advocate.
Well, Jose, I really appreciate you taking the time out to speak with us today. I know you're on a tight schedule, so I don't want to keep the listeners waiting. Won't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Like I said, my name is Jose. I'm Puerto Rican, 47 years old. I came from Puerto Rico to Chicago to a rehab. It was not what they promised to. So I left and I began catching cases around the Chicago area. I ended up in prison in Cook County for the last 4 years. And I'm a heroin user.
So, Jose, the reason why you're sitting here today, of course, you came to CRA and I'm here. And then on top of that, you have a diagnosis.
Yes. I got hepatitis C.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about that. When did you first learn that you had hepatitis C?
Like 10 years ago, you know, using dirty equipment and, you know, cookers and stuff like that.
And what was it like when you first heard that you had hepatitis C? Where were you?
I was in Puerto Rico.
You was in Puerto Rico?
Yes.
And what did it, when you heard those words, how did it make you feel?
It didn't really, really bother me because it's not like I got HIV or nothing like that. You know, it's treatable. So I just accepted, you know, I move on. You know, I already did tests and my liver is good. Okay. It's in perfect condition. It's not damaged. I don't drink.
Okay.
So it's only drugs, you know. The most damage is when you're drinking.
Okay.
I just got a person from my family. She died from hepatitis C, but she was a drinker. And when they did the autopsy, her liver fell out of the guy's hands in pieces, you know, because of the drinking. People don't realize that drinking is the worst drug than anything because it's legal.
Yeah.
And the alcohol is real poison.
It is poison.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize
that. Everything is poison. Every drug is poison, but this is, you can light a fire with it.
Yeah.
So imagine what it can do to your liver.
Yeah.
That is a flesh, you know.
When you got the diagnosis, what was it like dealing with the doctors?
No, they were nice. I was in prison right now when they did the test and offered me the treatment. But at the end, the budget, you know, in the prison, they don't got no money and they didn't want to pay for it. So at the end, they sent me to a doctor and she said that my liver was good, that I didn't need the treatment right away. Because my stuff was, and my mom, she got real upset, you know, and she was saying, well, they're going to wait until your liver is messed up to give you treatment then?
So what they're basically saying is that's true. They're telling you that, so right here in Illinois, they won't treat a person
until they damage.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that damage is irreversible.
It's irreversible.
So they can cure the disease, but now you're still left with liver damage.
Yeah. It's worse. Now you got to wait for a liver transplant or get in line for you don't know how long.
Yeah.
And you never even get it.
Yeah, and you know, it progresses in different people, you know, so some people need liver transplant when your cirrhosis is so bad that
cirrhosis.
Liver cells
that's what
stuff.
She had. That's why she died. And she, and at the last stage, she got to the point that she don't even know my family. My family went to the hospital and she got crazy.
Yeah.
She don't know who recognize who was my mom, who was my auntie, you know, so she lost it.
That's a lot of unnecessary suffering.
Yeah.
It's hard for the family to see.
My family suffered a lot because she was not blood related, but she was part of the family. But she never told nobody. And she had the money to get the treatment and the insurance and everything, you know. So she died because she wants to, basically. And the drinking, she and my auntie drinks like every day, nonstop, you know, hard stuff.
Wow.
So I just advise, you know, the people who listen to this, you know, be careful with the drinking if you got this stuff. You know, even with the drugs, everybody's different. Even when smoking, I can be smoking until 80 years old, I'll be good.
Well, that's good. I mean, you're practicing good, you know, awareness. Self-awareness. And you know, you're coming, you're getting clean needles, and you know what happens, you know, when a person doesn't take care of themselves. So with treatment, I don't know if they've also told you about the treatment. They will not give a person treatment if they are actively using.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I will definitely leave all habits behind, because I was just talking to somebody too, mm-hmm. and he got the treatment, and he told me, Jose, you know, you gotta be 90 days clean. You cannot have no dirty drug, because they're gonna take it away. So if that's gonna take for me to clean my, you know, get better, mm-hmm. healthy, yeah, I do it. I don't care about using drugs. I gotta get better, because I gotta get back to my family.
Right.
Because I what I was telling you, I got this thing, something happened with my mom when I was in prison. I was talking on the phone, and she know I had hepatitis C. And she say something, ignorance, and she hurt my feelings real bad. Mm-hmm. She say, please, when you get out, if you haven't deal with it, with the hepatitis C, please don't touch the kids or nothing like that. And that she made me feel bad, you know.
And that's a shame, because, you know, in this day and age, we should do a better job of educating people so that they know that hepatitis C
it don't spread like that.
Spread like that.
Yeah, that's why it hurt my feelings, and I didn't talk to her like for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I told her, hey, you made me feel bad, and at the end, she retracted and say, yeah, I was ignorant, you know, I'm sorry, you know, this and that. But I got a health plan, you know. I got my Obamacare plan, and with this, you know, I won't miss a chance, for real. They tell me you gotta be clean. Hey, you're gonna count on that. I'm gonna be clean. Hell yeah, I'm clean right now.
Oh, that's good. The other thing I just wanted to kind of go back to, you know, knowing that people come to the CRA in order to get clean needles and clean works, and they do that because they don't want to share dirty needles and stuff, mm-hmm. right?
That's good.
And if a person isn't sharing dirty needles and dirty works, what's their chance like of being reinfected of hepatitis C?
Mm-hmm. Little to none.
Right. So their whole reason for denying a person the treatment because they're currently using is kind of nonsense. So if mm-hmm. a person, if we had more new exchange sites and we stopped looking at drug use and criminalizing it the way we do, then that means that you would take away some of those barriers of people actually transmitting diseases. Yeah, I mean, so that if you gave them what they need and stopped criminalizing them for it, then we wouldn't have this disease spread, and you wouldn't have to tell people, well, we're not going to treat you because you're still using.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of nonsense, and that's really the point that we want to get out here, that people deserve to be treated.
If I get the treatment and you guys, if I'm clean and everything's all right, working, I'm a barber. I'm a good ass barber. And if you guys need me to speak with different people, you know, my testimony or whatever, I do that too.
Oh,
to
we help. Appreciate that.
Hell yeah, I like to help.
And you know, just thinking about that we're thinking of a few ideas, and you know, since you're a barber, it'll be good to stay in contact with you, because we may be able.
They do it on the South though, and they do this testing, they do a free haircut if you get a test or whatever.
Well, Jose, I definitely appreciate your time. We're gonna go ahead in the interview, and it's been nice to meet you.
Me too, sir. I appreciate it.